I have Ingrid and Deborah in the studio, and we have a half an hour of important stuff to talk about regarding your health, because this is the Apollo Bay Community Health Check. I've been away. sponsored by Otway Health. Good morning, Deborah.
Good morning, Bob, with your bristly beard. It looks very, very good. I'm liking that look.
Oh, well, I might hang on to it then. and Ingrid, community health nurse. Hi, Ingrid.
Hi, how are you going?
Yeah, good. So, Deb, you've got some opening remarks?
I always have.
Haven't seen you for a bit. You've been off.
Where have we been? You've been sailing and
I've been sailing and you've been busy.
Yeah, I've been a bit busy.
Preoccupied.
Been wandering around doing a few things in relation to the job that keeps me off the streets. So I've got some really, really exciting news to kick off with today. I wanted to share with our listeners and those that listen to our podcast a really exciting recognition that happened for us recently. We submitted to VHA, which stands for the Victorian Healthcare Association,
yep,
which is like the peak body that looks after all the organisations in the state who represent healthcare. Mm-hmm. We join every organisation that's a member, takes out a membership each year, and that particular association then represents us to the government and lobbies and acts as an advocate for us, and we will hold meetings and hold functions and conferences and all sorts of things. And they recently had their annual conference, which myself and Nicole Steers attended. Mm. Brilliant conference. Another conversation for another day, Bob, because there were some fantastic speakers. But at the conference they have a series of awards, recognition awards.
Yep.
And so Otway Health put our hand up to enter one category for Innovation in Healthcare Awards. And the one that we submitted was about our beautiful little radio program, Health Check. And we submitted that as a consideration because we think, not on the smell of an oily rag, but on the whiff of an oily rag, we actually are doing a service for our community in health promotion and improving health literacy by bringing regular information to our community. So we put in a written submission and asked them to consider us as being thought of in a positive light.
Mm.
And we were jumping for joy when we found out that we were a finalist.
Yep.
So there were three finalists in the state selected.
Wow.
And Otway Health was one of the finalists.
Fantastic.
Now, I'm very proud to say we brought home the bronze.
Good-o.
So we didn't get the silver or the gold, and that's okay, because the three nominations in the award category were very, very different projects and very different programs. We were shown a lot of interest at the conference. Lots of people came up to talk to Sally and I about what we do and how we do it, and somebody actually said to me, "How did you get a radio show?"
Yep.
And I said, "I asked them for it." And they said, "Oh, was it that easy?" And I said, "Yep, it was that easy."
Well, community stations all over, especially regional ones, but metropolitan ones as well, should be wide open to this kind of thinking.
Absolutely.
That's exactly what community radio is about. Yeah.
So we were recognised for the effort that we put in, the conversations and the topics that we have. Then what impressed them even more was the fact that we've been able to work with you and you so wonderfully every episode develop our radio episode into a podcast.
Mm.
And that was really impressive when we start to look at the numbers of podcasts that have been downloaded how that means our spread of information is much broader than just our half an hour once a fortnight. So I was so proud of this. I was so proud of Sally and you, Bob, and our team, all the people that have come and talked on the show. This is a really big deal for our Apollo Bay and surrounding community for us to be recognised this way. So in our logo underneath our, what do we call those things? Banners, I think they're called on our email. We will put up that we're a finalist for this year's awards, and you never know where it might lead.
Yeah.
As a result of this, Sally and I are actually now presenting at a conference in a couple of weeks' time around social media use in hospitals.
Great.
And part of our presentation is about our podcasts and our radio program and all the other social media work we do.
Mm.
So we're actually being recognised for, we might be isolated, we might be small, we might be a long way from the city, but we're actually doing some really innovative community work.
And I think that particularly with social media, it's a really strong point to – be able to mount the local, the voices of the local expertise, because the web is awash with all sorts of strange health information.
Yeah.
I mean, some seriously strange stuff.
Absolutely.
So to have, you know, local practitioners of one kind or another and local authorities talk about the sensible stuff, you know, is probably not a bad thing.
Well, if you think about it in the context of, I'll just pick, for example, we've had our fabulous physio, Cheryl Biddle, come and speak with us a couple of times here, Bob. There is no doubt that each time she's been on this show, there has been an obvious increase in appointments for physiotherapy work after Cheryl has talked. Mm. So whether it's 5, 8 or 15 people extra that are coming to see Cheryl, that means that's 5, 8 or 15 extra people who weren't aware that we had that service, who are now getting the service at home. And if it's a nice day, they can walk to the appointment.
And that's the 5, 8 or 15 who did something about it, never mind the 30, 50 or a couple of hundred that just heard about it and made a mental note and
They need it, they know that it's there.
Yep.
Absolutely. So I'm sorry I've taken up a bit of time.
Congratulations.
Big pat on the back for everybody. and a particular shout out to Sally Forrester, our communications officer. Yep. She's such a tower of strength for us at Otway Health, and she's doing an extraordinary job, a quiet achiever.
You must save a lot on electricity with Sally.
Why?
She keeps running in that wheel.
She does, and she sits in her little office with no light on, and we must pay the electricity bill for that office one day. No, all jokes aside, she's doing, like everybody at Otway Health, doing a great job, often with some challenges against us, but doing it hopefully with the best intentions from the heart and for the better of the community.
Indeed.
Two very quick other announcements. Public holiday closure. We've got a public holiday coming up on the 1st of November for Melbourne Cup Day.
Indeed.
Another important event that week, which we won't pay too much attention to, is somebody's birthday, somebody special. Me, my birthday's that week. Always love the fact that there's a public holiday somewhere in the week of my birthday. Loving that. So we just need people to be aware that
it's your birthday.
That it is my birthday. It is a public holiday on Melbourne Cup Day.
Is red wine preferred or white?
A white. A shardy. I'm a shardy. Shardy girl, shardy. And the other thing that's really important about this, while I'm having a joke at my own expense, the Apollo Bay Children's Centre will be closed on Friday, the 4th of November, because that's actually Colac Shire Day.
Okay.
So the childcare centre stays open, I believe, on Melbourne Cup,
Day,
but closes for the Colac Shire, which makes a lot of sense because it's just up the road. And the other important announcement I wanted to make was that because of our fabulous community health nurse, beautiful segue here for you, Bob, our community health nurse, Ingrid, she's doing a series of health information sessions, and she's got one coming up on diabetes on Thursday, the 26th of October at Marrowarn, our neighbourhood house, between 2 and 3 o'clock. For more information, you can ring Ingrid through the hospital switchboard on 52378500. And it's that, obviously we know, you and I know the value of Ingrid and the work that she's doing around community health. But this one's a particular interest because diabetes is a really important aspect. Before we talk to Ingrid, the other thing is a huge shout out, because this is National Carers Week. And as we know, the biggest unpaid, unrecognised and often unthanked workforce in Australian society are carers. Yeah. And I know for a fact that the three of us sitting around this table all experienced that, and having had my mother fall over again this week, being a carer is real, and it's real for most of us, and we need to acknowledge the work that carers do. So happy National Carers Week to all our carers.
Absolutely.
Thanks for that, Bob.
Okay. Ingrid.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
Have you got a light?
A light? No.
No. She doesn't even have an office. She works in a car.
Wait for a smoke. No. Seeing that's what I'm talking about.
So you're talking about giving up smoking?
Yes, smoking cessation today.
Did you ever smoke?
Yes, I have smoked. Yes, in my day.
Didn't we all?
Didn't we all?
All the people of a certain age.
Well, I think we had the Marlboro man and the Alpine ladies you know, on the beach with the horses, and it was all very Sopranos. Sexy and
Sobranis.
And macho and whatever to smoke.
Yeah, he came to a sticky end, the Marlboro man.
Yes, yeah. He did. Yeah, yeah. He did. He got cancer. Yeah.
But overall, Australia's done or is doing really well about cigarettes, do you
we
think?
We are doing very well, and I think a lot of that the government has been amazing, I think, in this respect of increasing cigarettes, the price of cigarettes and the labelling of cigarettes, but it only works to a certain degree because it is such an addictive... nicotine is the most addictive drug known to man,
you
apparently.
Bet. Hardest one I ever gave up, I can tell you.
And the hardest one to give up.
Yep.
And so it is a... And in saying that, just with the money side of it, it's a bit hard now because they have increased them to a point that... Cigarettes have got to a price where for the low socioeconomic people in the community, they will buy cigarettes now over
food.
So, and that's how addictive it is. Yeah. And you can say, well, that's stupid, but it's not, because they are saying that smoking is a chronic disease in itself, and how addicted how addictive it is.
Well, if as former smokers, we all know what we understood to be the pleasure of the post of the cigarette after a meal or some other pleasant activity.
And that's the association part of it. Yes.
And as a kind of a reliever of stress and so.
Well, nicotine in itself is actually not a harmful drug, and it does improve, reduce aggression, improve focus, increase vigilance, decrease weight, and improve your mood. So with all of that, you'd go, bring it
on.
Just
take a nicotine pill.
Unfortunately, the bigger picture, though.
The bigger picture is that all the other elements, it's the smoke. Mm. So, so you've got carbon monoxide is the big one, and you've got and there's a number of other elements in your cigarettes that are killing you. And the very interesting fact is that 80%, and they say that cigarettes are a drug, 80% of drug deaths in Australia are caused by cigarette smoking.
Wow.
So there's ice and everything in the media, but if you look at that, 80% of the deaths are from smoking. So that is a huge, and it mightn't happen the next day after a cigarette, obviously. Yeah. But so the health benefits to giving up smoking are a no-brainer, really.
And the benefits are, 1, 2, 3, and 5 years down the track. The benefits are pretty amazing, aren't they?
Yeah, so if you give up smoking, the next day you start to have benefits and your smell receptors and your taste receptors come back. And one of the most interesting things I did learn the other day was if you give up smoking at 45, so you might think at 45, what's the use? Mm. Your lung capacity will go back over 10 years, I think it is, will go back to that of a non-smoker.
Wow.
As long as you haven't got some sort of lung disease beforehand. Yeah. So to me, that is a huge benefit.
And
it's never too late.
Mm, and your chances of getting cancer are also reduced substantially, aren't they?
Oh, yes, yes. Yeah. The whole thing reduces over time.
Yeah, over those years,
So
and it's not just lung cancer either.
No, it's stomach
goes into
everything. It's
bowel cancer are really high incidences of
As and tongue and throat cancer, esophageal cancer,
lip
cancer. Mm. Yeah, so it goes on and on and on. Yes.
All right. How do we go about it? How do we do this?
Well,
how do we give it up?
2 out of 3 people who smoke want to give up smoking.
Okay.
Yeah, there are different degrees of how people are addicted to smoking. So there's a thing called the Featherstorm where you would ask. So really you judge how addicted someone is to nicotine on when they have their first cigarette in the morning. So when you wake up, if you have it within 30 minutes, you are addicted to the nicotine. You've got a high dependency. After 30 minutes, you say they've got a low dependency. Mm. And the other thing is it can be it's psychological and it's habit forming as well. So there's the addiction, the habit, and the psychological aspects to this addiction. So it's a hard one to give up, but it can be done. And the best way to do it is with help. So if you said to yourself, I just want to give up, and you said, I'm not going to smoke ever again, and you threw your cigarettes out, you'd have a 5% chance of succeeding. Mm. So some people can do it, but it's only 5%. And then the relapses of that 5% is quite high as well. So you probably most of those people would then end up continuing to smoke. So they do suggest NRT, which is your nicotine replacement therapy, as people know it as patches. Mm. And there's Champix, which is a tablet as well. Mm-hmm. And then to use that with combination therapy such as chewing gum. There's a lot of those. There's sprays. What else do
lozenges
they have?
Lozenges.
Yeah. And they have another one that isn't like, it's not an e-cigarette. It looks like a cigarette, but you get a nicotine hit.
Okay.
So what happens when you have a cigarette, your nicotine receptors and your dopamine, it sets that up. So you get your nicotine level up and then it will stay up for sometimes 2 hours, but in some people it's only 20 to 40 minutes. So as it's depleting,
yeah,
it sends to your brain, I want to have another cigarette.
Another
So what the patches do is it gives you that nicotine level so that but you still will get cravings. Mm. And that's why, so if you use it with the other therapies as well, you can, when you get a craving, you can have a bit of chewy, have a bit of a lozenger, or have a puff on the pretend cigarettes, as I'll call them. And that will hopefully get you through to the next stage, so to stop you from having that cigarette. So it's and they say that it's a 68% more chance of giving up smoking, and then it's another 50% if you use the two together.
Okay.
So, and they're saying that the relapses, obviously there are going to be relapses, but it's not as many and it won't be for as long. Most people will go back and say, we'll try again to give up and succeed again. Yeah. So, which is really important. And there's a few myths around patches, which would be that they give you nightmares. And it is one of the side effects, but if you choose the right dose for you, you shouldn't, and you can take them off at night time. So that is an option if it was. But that is not everybody. So it's not going to happen to everybody. And the other one is that you die if you have a cigarette while you've got a patch on. Well, that is so not true, because there'd be a lot of dead people. So, and it's just a relapse. And you can say, well, righto, I've had a cigarette, but I still want to give up. And you keep going.
All right. Well, we might play a bit of music and come back and then talk about the actual steps of how to achieve this.
Yes.
Very beneficial life change.
Yes.
This is the Apollo Bay Health Check, brought to you by Otway Community Health on 3ABR. Open the door to your heart. Open the door to your soul. Open the door to your heart, which we played on Jodie Anderson's inaugural Van Morrison program last Monday night, and that'll be back on Monday nights here, a regular feature on 3ABR. But right now we're talking about giving up the fags, aren't we, Ingrid?
We are going
Ingrid's our community health nurse.
And there's good news, you can do it.
Well, not only can you, but lots of people have. And there's a huge percentage of people, we've changed the culture amazingly in Australia.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. And I think kids also today aren't as influenced by advertising.
And there's a lot more conversation.
They have a lot more health talks at school and things like that. Well, I've got three boys and I can't imagine any of them having a cigarette.
Mm.
And I think I'd have my first cigarette. Oh.
Yeah, by the time you were their age.
At 13, I think, so I won't go there, but...
So,
it's all good.
So what's the plan? What do you do? Okay, so you're two of the three people that
want to give up cigarettes. Yeah. So that's the first thing. The other thing is that it's good to even if you're a smoker today listening to this, think about it.
Yep.
So there's
you have to be ready, don't you?
You have to be very ready. Mm. So, but there's health benefits, there's financial benefits, and social benefits, and the whole works. So if you listen so many times to people saying you should give up, you eventually, your brain will start to think, oh, maybe I should. And if you get to that maybe stage, that's when you should be thinking about, well, then you have to get the confidence to be able to do it. And that would be the time when you would say, right, I need that help. I need the confidence to be able to do it. And that's when you would come and see me.
All right. So you think that's, for local people, that's the best thing to do is to have an individual plan for depending on who it is?
Yes, I do. Yeah. It has to be very individual because we all smoke for very different reasons. Mm. And so you would come to me, I would have a chat to you. There's a few, they're not surveys, but assessments that I would go through with you. We would work out when you smoked, what was your triggers, etc. I would then send you to the local doctor to get your you'd need a script to get the patches, or if you chose to do Champix, and they are covered by the PBS. So you get 12 weeks of patches for $6 or so. Don't hold me to the exact price, but that happens every year for you if you relapse and start again. So. Yeah, so then I would send you there, and then I would offer you support through
the process,
the 12 weeks. Yep. And even afterwards, if you wanted to come and see me afterwards, that wouldn't be a problem. But it is a very individual, it's not something you can do. There's not one set of rules for everyone.
Should everybody set a date in your experience? Should everyone say, okay, in a month's time or in a week's time?
Yes, I think they should say, I think if anybody's thinking about it, they should ring up Otway Health and make an appointment with me.
Sure.
And then we can have a chat about it, and then that's when I would say, well, we can set a date. We can go through the options of what would suit them, what NRT therapy would be better for them.
Yep.
And then, work out an individual plan. But definitely at that time, we would set a date.
Because you could do it if you were about to go off and do the Great Ocean Walk, then that'd be a good time.
Absolutely.
Not to take cigarettes with you. Whereas if you were home with the 8 kids,
you might want to
just sort of stay with the habit for a bit.
But also, I think in saying like the Great Ocean Walk, that could be something that you could put as a goal to the future. So you could say, like, if there's something that you really want to do, you could say, well, I want to give up smoking, and when I do, I will do the Great Ocean Walk, or whatever your goal is that you might want to do. Or financially, and I'll just say, if you're a 20-day person, in 1 year you would have saved $11,000. That's with the tax increase coming in, $7,000 before the tax increase.
Wow.
And that's a holiday.
Yep,
so you could say to yourself, I can have a fantastic holiday. And that's a great incentive as well. So, and they're the sort of things that I would look with the individual, and because not everybody's goal is going to be the same. So, it would be about setting goals and achieving them, which is doable for everybody.
So how did you give up, Deborah?
I never thought I was addicted. I thought I was a social smoker.
Mm.
And when I met my husband, he was a marathon runner.
Mm.
And this is a terrible admission, but I used to measure his runs in how many G&Ts and cigarettes I could fit in while he was running. And he used to come back to me and say, "Hey, why does an intelligent person like you smoke cigarettes? It's disgusting." It's the only thing he ever said to me that he disliked. And it got to the point where he used to nag so much about it. And I think, I don't really enjoy it that much. Why am I bothering? Because I can't stand. So I just stopped one day. And I was social. Like, I would go to a party and smoke 2 packets, and then I might not have a cigarette for 3 days.
Yes.
So I considered myself a social smoker, but I'd done that for a long time. I'd had a social life for a long time before I got married.
So did the kissing improve?
Yeah, I guess it did, really.
Certainly. He might have
I guess that's a question for him.
Certainly did for him,
yeah.
Might have increased.
I think I was ready for it too.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So.
And you noticed, other improvements?
Definitely.
Yeah.
I was healthier as a result.
Yeah.
And now walk through a wall of smoke when you're somewhere, and 99% of the time I go, that is gross.
Yeah, really offensive.
But I have to say that once in a blue moon, I'll walk past and I'll go,
Oh, I remember what it smelt like when I used to have a glass of wine and a cigarette.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
That doesn't happen very often, I have to admit, but but overwhelmingly I just, and the smell of it on people's clothes or when they come near you, it's really, and I often think what it must be like for little kids when they smell grown-ups.
Yeah, because their senses are much more acute.
Yes.
Yes, and second-hand smoke and even third-hand smoke, smoke on clothes has a health effect on your children and your family. So that's another reason that you would want to give up for not just your health benefits, the benefits of your loved ones and, people around you.
How did you do it, Ingrid?
Oh, I was probably a bit like Deborah. I was just a social, social smoker.
It's a nice term, really.
It is a
isn't
nice
it?
Term, yes.
Us girls, social smokers.
A bit of a wine and a wine and a ciggy. But look, I probably was. I could go for months without having a cigarette. Probably having the children, and then I definitely stopped.
Yeah. We had an outside dunny when I was a little boy. It was a long way down the backyard. And so consequently, my mother would light a cigarette, and that was the only cigarette she smoked, really.
Yes.
And then one day, we had a visitor who pulled out a cigarette and lit it up, and one of my sisters looked at her and said, "Well, are you going?" And the visitor said, "I beg your pardon." "The toilet's down the back."
What an interesting association. Wow. How old was your sister?
Oh, about six.
That's gorgeous. Great. That is great association, isn't
it? Yes, yes. And it shows that there is a strong association with cigarettes, whether not going to the toilet, but yes.
You talked about the Great Ocean Walk. For me, exercise was the single most useful tool in giving up cigarettes. If I felt myself thinking, "Oh, I really could have a fag," all I had to do was jump on the push bike have a brisk, hard walk or grab a set of weights or any form of exercise at all.
Yes.
Really helped, you know.
So why did you choose to give it up, Bob?
Oh, woman.
Power of the love of a great woman. Yeah.
I was down to rolling cigarettes and I was sitting on the front porch of our little house.
Yes.
Rolling a cigarette and... Fairly early in the relationship, I must say, she came out and stood behind me and said, "Well, if you must smoke, I suppose I will have to love you anyway." And I said, "Oh, shit.
Oh.
That's the end of that."
That's a very good way to do it.
Sounds like partners read from the same script book.
Yes, yes.
Yes, I think we're both fairly
So from
fairly
that point,
well
how long did it take you to give up?
It took about... I think about a month or two, and I had the help. And the other really important thing for me was, you're having a cigarette, but you're giving up.
Yeah. Yes.
So instead of having eight or whatever it was a day, you know, I'd have one.
Yes.
And I wouldn't be happy about that, but I wouldn't give myself a hard time, and I wouldn't say, "Oh, you failed. You're smoking again."
No, and that's why you've got to have a plan. And
so overall, I think it probably took a year altogether in terms of not having, not having those thoughts and not wanting or thinking of myself as an ex-smoker. It took about a year, I guess.
Yes.
And so, how long ago was that?
24 years ago.
That's good.
Yeah, yeah.
So, do you consider yourself a smoker still, or are you an ex-smoker?
No, I'm not a smoker anymore.
No,
absolutely not.
Yes.
Because I get the same, adverse reaction to the smell of it as you do. No, I'm not. Well, there you go.
Yes.
So there's a few personal stories to encourage folk. There are lots more, and Ingrid knows many of them.
Yes.
So give her a call at Otway Health on the phone number.
5237 8500.
5237 8500.
Sounds fabulous.
This has been another... hopefully interesting and slightly entertaining, Apollo Bay Health Check brought to you by Otway Community Health on 3 ABR.